So quick to choose the path walked by the righteous, so you can go and nest among the weak. The innocent observers will refuse to find the lie within. Renew the disappointment of the meek.
Chapter 9. Peter is doing pull-ups when he hears Stiles make a noise from the other room. A second later, Stiles calls out, "Hey, Peter, I think you'd better come see this." Peter drops down to the floor and grabs his towel to wipe his face off before going into the kitchen, where Stiles is sitting with his laptop and some coffee. He sees immediately that he's on the Hunter Forum and grimaces in anticipation. Doubtless they've figured out that the forum is compromised and they're telling people not to use it anymore. It was really only a matter of time. Then he leans closer to see the post's heading and realizes the situation is much worse. "Obituary killer identified," reads the subject line, and Peter doubts that Stiles would be calling him in if they were wrong. He pulls up a chair and leans over to read the column, written by New Chasson, approximately 5 hours previous. "Hold on to your shit, everyone. I've figured it out. It's Peter Hale." That's the entire post, which has Peter rolling his eyes somewhat. Whoever New Chasson is, they're clearly a messy bitch who loves drama. The first reply, of course, is someone saying, "What makes you think that?" And a second reply, which is, "Do you think we didn't think of PH? Of course we did, but the timing is all wrong. He went off the grid 4 years before the first hunter was killed." New Chasson then replies again, and Peter's stomach drops into his shoes, because the reply is, "But you didn't know about the kid he was training." "Shit," Peter mutters. "Yep," Stiles replies. Naturally, five people then chime in with, "What kid?" And someone says, "Stop keeping us in suspense, for Christ's sake. This isn't a movie, and we're all supposed to be on the same team here." New Chasson then gets down to business, with several links to articles written about Noah Stilinski's death and Stiles' subsequent disappearance. Two of them include that Stiles was last seen with Peter Hale, including him as a person of interest. The Hunter sums up with, "Obviously, Peter realized this kid was a spark and kidnapped him, then probably Stockholmed him into helping him out." "Now that's just rude," Peter says under his breath. Stiles clearly knows what line he just got to, because he lets out a snort of laughter. There are several more people in the comments agreeing with her and trading theories on Stiles' motivations. One of them does give him the dignity of wanting revenge for his father's death without needing to be manipulated. Then the hammer drops when one asks, "Isn't Laura Hale the alpha in Beacon Hills now?" That's the last reply, and it was left only minutes before. Peter pushes back from the table and says, "Do you have Derek's number in your phone?" When Stiles immediately goes shifty-eyed, he adds, "It's a simple yes or no question, Stiles." "Yeah," Stiles says, handing his phone over. He's gone pink up to the tips of his ears, and when Peter simply looks up Derek's number to put in his own phone, he adds, "You're not going to yell at me?" "I'm not going to yell at you. And similarly, I'm going to try to forget that you have him saved in as Booty McFuckmaster," Peter says, and Stiles goes from pink to red. "Although, I suppose it was prudent of you not to save him in with his actual name." "Yeah, that's totally why I did it," Stiles mumbles, not meeting Peter's gaze. Peter hits send and hopes that Derek doesn't pick up with anything obscene. Fortunately for Peter, he doesn't. "Hey, what's up?" His tone is somewhat surprised, and Peter assumes that Stiles rarely calls him, and generally sticks to texting. "Derek, it's Peter. Are you at the den?"
"What? Yeah, is Stiles okay?"
"Yes, he's fine, but I need to speak to Laura right away." There's a pause, and then Derek says,
"Hang on."
A few moments later, Laura's voice comes onto the phone, sounding stiff and unfriendly. What is it, Peter?
Hello to you too, niece,
Peter says, unable to help himself.
You should know that the hunters have finally figured out who's murdering them. Be on guard, because they might come try to take you captive in order to get to us.
Laura sounds disgusted. There's a reason I've told everyone I want nothing to do with you, Peter, and it's not because I want nothing to do with you.
Charming, Peter says. Don't say I didn't warn you.
I have a truce with the local hunters for your information.
Laura says, I keep my pack in line and they don't step on my toes.
Good for you, Laura, Peter says, unable to keep the sarcasm out of his voice.
Talia had a truce with the local hunters too, but we see how well that worked out for us. Put your brother back on the phone.
Laura doesn't say goodbye. She simply hands the phone over. Derek says,
Hey,
again.
You won't be able to come see Stiles anymore, I'm sorry to say. At least not until we figured out a way to deal with this. No more texting, either.
Okay, Derek says, and then says, Can I talk to him?
Sure.
Peter hands the phone over. Stiles has heard what Peter said, and he picks up with,
I'm sorry about all this.
It's fine, Derek says. I just... be careful, okay?
Yeah, we will be. Hopefully it'll be safe soon and I can text you again.
Okay.
Derek hesitates, then says,
Bye then.
Bye.
Stiles hangs up, and he's silent for several long moments. When he turns around, he doesn't say anything about Derek, instead saying,
We should go, huh? In case they get Derek's phone and track that call?
Yes. Dismantle that phone and we'll dispose of it along the way. Be ready to go in 5 minutes. By that night, they're in a new Airbnb under new identities. They've destroyed any trace of their old ones and are starting clean. Stiles is quiet as they settle in, but paces back and forth, clearly deep in thought. Peter isn't quite as worried. The hunters might go for Laura and the others, but they don't know that Stiles and Peter can see them planning everything on their forum. With that in mind, he pulls it back up. It's become a somewhat spirited debate between some of the hunters that Stiles and Peter had long ago filed away as the decent kind, or at least as close as hunters could come, and the others. Nobody seems to agree on what to do next. And someone committed the faux pas of saying that Stiles and Peter had every right to want revenge on the people who killed their families. They got shouted down, but other people came to their defense. Of course, someone pointed out that Kate Argent was dead, and they were instead killing random hunters. Someone brings up some of the more terrible exploits of some of Peter and Stiles' victims, and it goes downhill from there.
We're hunters, News Chasson says. Sometimes we have to get our hands dirty. If you don't like that, GTFO.
I can get my hands dirty without putting my dick in a 16-year-old, someone retorts. If you ask me, most of these guys got what was coming to them, and I'm not sorry for thinking that.
This argument is irrelevant.
The coalition, the forum moderator, comes in to shut things down. The point is that we have to decide what to do now. Peter Hale isn't the kind of person who's going to stop. We need to use this information to find him and put him down.
What about the kid?
Another hunter asks. If he was manipulated into this, he's another victim.
He's not a kid anymore, the coalition replies. He's making his own choices.
But maybe we could explain to him that he's got the wrong idea about us?
After Kate Argent murdered his father? Not likely!
Come on, News Chasson chimes back in. If the guy was so stupid that he told her to lower her gun instead of tossing it away, then he shouldn't be surprised she shot him on the way down. Peter grimaces and makes a mental note that he shouldn't let Stiles read this conversation, although he doesn't know exactly how he'll stop him. Then he frowns and rereads the reply, scrolls back up and reads some of the other things News Chasson has said.
Son of a bitch! He mutters.
What? Stiles asks, looking over from where he's slouched on the sofa with a book. Peter looks up from his laptop and speaks very carefully, in an even, measured tone.
He's afraid that if he lets any emotion into his voice, he'll lose control entirely. On the forum, they're discussing our motivations. The same poster who originally revealed our identities mentioned your father telling Kate Argent to lower her gun rather than making her toss it away. Stiles blinks at him. And? Peter lets out a slow breath. Only three people were there when that happened. Your father, myself, and Kate Argent. I never told anyone the specifics of what happened, because it wasn't relevant. I just told the other police officer that she had shot him. Stiles chews on his lower lip. Maybe they could tell from ballistics? To be honest, I doubt ballistics were run. Your father's cause of death was obvious. They knew who had killed him. They didn't have to prove it at a trial, because Kate Argent was, in theory, dead. So a detailed autopsy might not have been performed at all, let alone the sort of ballistic calculations that would let them know what angle he was shot from. Now Stiles is frowning. In theory? Peter nods. In theory. You think... Stiles has to stop and steady his voice. You think Kate Argent might be alive? Didn't you see her body?
I did, but... Peter grimaces a little. She had gone through the windshield when she crashed her car, or so they figured. The head and face were very damaged. It could have been a body double, and I wouldn't have known. Gerard Argent has a lot of money and unsavory connections. Faking Kate's death would have been difficult, but not impossible. And I wasn't really in the sort of headspace to ask a lot of questions back then.
Stiles is quiet for a moment before saying... You think Kate Argent is still alive?
I think it's a possibility, Peter says. And I think it's the most likely explanation for how anyone could have known the exact circumstances under which your father was killed.
Okay, Stiles says, and is unusually still for another moment. Okay, I'm gonna go kick the shit out of a punching bag until I'm capable of dealing with this. I'll be back in a bit.
A few minutes later, loud rock music is blasting out of Stiles' room. Peter continues to sit on the sofa, studying the forum, trying to decide how he feels about this. Kate being alive is unexpected, and Stiles is clearly upset. But Peter realizes that he's not, that he's already daydreaming about different ways to kill her, each one slower and more painful than the last. Stiles might have been satisfied bringing justice to the world, but Peter is far more taken with the idea of getting revenge for his family. After about an hour, Stiles reemerges. He ducks into the shower without saying anything. And when he comes out, he's calm.
Okay, he says. Let's start with Gerard. If he helped Kate fake her death, there's got to be some trail that was left behind. The fire was 10 years previous, but they're used to researching cold cases. It's only a few years older than many of the others that they've looked into. Stiles starts pulling up financial information and phone records, and they quickly determine that although Gerard was not in town the day Kate killed the deputies and crashed her car, he was there the day after. The initial police reports from the discovery of Kate's car say that she was still alive when they arrived, that she was transported to the hospital, where she died of her wounds.
I never knew that, Stiles says, frowning at them. I always assumed she was dead when they got there.
Peter glances over.
I suppose it didn't seem relevant at the time. From what I understood, the bullet had gone through the car door as she was driving away and into her chest through her side, and she died from internal bleeding before they could fix the damage.
Stiles chews on her lower lip.
But that makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? I mean, if they found a body at the car, someone would have had a very short window to switch it out. But if she died in the hospital?
Peter nods.
They could have saved her life, but still forged a death certificate, found a Jane Doe that could be used as a body double, or even killed someone who looked similar.
He frowns thoughtfully. We are going to need the financial records of everyone who was working at the hospital that day, particularly in the emergency department.
I don't know, Peter.
Now it's Stiles who's frowning. I think people in Beacon Hills would have had a hard time helping Kate escape justice after what she did. Not just the fire, but murdering three police officers. I might not remember a lot about Beacon Hills, but that sort of thing is hard to forgive, even with generous cash bribes. And you're talking about him being able to bribe everyone who would have been involved in her surgery. That would be 5 or 6 people at least. None of them refused? If you have a better explanation. Stiles types in silence for several minutes. Then he says, huh, actually, maybe I do. When did you hear about Kate's death? Was it the same day or later? Peter thinks back. It must have been the next day, or even the one after that. I was at the police station for quite a long time after your father's death, being interviewed about what exactly had happened. I heard about them finding her car and that she had been shot while I was there, but not that she had died. I went back to the hotel and... He tries to remember. I was exhausted, but I'd had a lot of trouble sleeping since the fire. I think I took something to help myself sleep and probably heard about her death the next day. Why? Because her death certificate is dated the day after the day my father died. Stiles takes a drink of his coffee. She died of complications to the gunshot wound, but not during surgery. After surgery, which leaves a much bigger window, and... He turns back to his computer and continues typing. Okay, I think I need to actually see Kate's medical records to verify this, but this death certificate was signed by a doctor who wasn't actually employed by the Beacon Hills Hospital. How is that possible? Peter asks, leaning over his shoulder. Look, my dad died, 2 other deputies died, and a whole bunch of them were injured. Stiles says, the ER staff must have put in a bunch of overtime. It's not unthinkable that outside doctors would have been called in, especially if Gerard had his fingers in things by then. He could have specifically arranged for a team of outsiders to take Kate back in for surgery if she was suffering complications. He made air quotes. The doctor on Gerard's payroll pronounces her dead, signs her death certificate, and probably arranges for her to be moved somewhere else for her convalescence. 2 hours later, Stiles has uncovered enough about the doctor who signed the death certificate to have a basic confirmation of the theory. He was licensed by the state of California, but didn't have a practice of his own, instead traveling around to different hospitals. Yet, despite no evidence of a steady paycheck, he had a lavish lifestyle that included a mansion in Woodside and a Maserati. Probably works for criminals most of the time, Stiles says. Peter nods in agreement. Do you think we should go pay him a visit? He asks, his eyes glinting. Or is this enough for confirmation? In conjunction with the person on the forum with details of what happened that day, I'd say it's confirmation enough. Stiles lets out a slow breath. Okay, so, Kate Argent is alive, but her dad must have kept her under wraps. Nobody on the forum seems to know. That is true. She's probably been living outside the United States. No, but like, past tense. He kept her under wraps. But now she slipped his leash. She probably heard about us, figured it out, and she just couldn't control herself. Look at her posts on the forum. She's damn near giddy to know something that the others don't know. She fucking baits them. These are the people who are supposed to be her allies. Stiles rubs a hand over his hair. I don't know exactly what I'm trying to get at here, but it feels important to me. Peter thinks this over, nodding slowly. Gerard dumps her in South America or whatever, and tells her to keep a low profile. But it's been 10 damn years. She's bored, itching for action, finds out what's happening here, and now she's stirring up drama. It is important. It means she can be manipulated. We need to start a rumor, Stiles says. I've still got several active personas on the forum. I could post saying that I heard we were going to target somebody or be somewhere to draw Kate out. It's a good start, but they'd want to know how you knew. Peter shakes his head. No, there needs to be a rumor that we are somewhere, not that we're going to be somewhere. And it'd have to be somewhere that we might conceivably stay for a little while, which means it has to be Beacon Hills. Why the fuck would we go back to Beacon Hills now? Stiles says. It's been 10 years. Peter points to the computer and says, I give it 2 days, maximum, before some of those jackasses decide to go hassle Laura and Derek. Once that happens, it's quite reasonable to assume that we might go back there to protect them. That being said, we also can't post on the forum. We want to lure in Kate, not every single hunter in a 5-mile radius. Stiles grimaces and says, yeah, fair point. But there are local hunters in Beacon Hills. Actually, come to think of it, the guy in charge of them is Kate's brother. Derek was bitching about it when he was telling me about the truce that Laura had made, that she would be willing to even talk to him. Although I sympathize with Derek on that score, it's probably fine. Chris Argent is as unlike his sister as is humanly possible. If he said he won't make a move on Laura and her pack, he meant it. Not that that means anything to other hunters in the area, Peter adds, but it works well for us. Chris probably won't go post on the forum about us being there, but he probably will mention it to his father, and from there it's sure to get to Kate. You talk like you know him, Stiles says curiously. I do know him. Or did. He lived in Beacon Hills at the time of the fire, and I met him a few times, when other monsters were in the area. Peter shrugs a little and says, he's a hard-headed, holier-than-thou piece of work with a real stick up his ass, but it's hard to hate him, given the fact that he somehow evolved a sense of morals despite being raised by Gerard. In any case, I doubt that Chris approves of what we're doing, but I also doubt he's got much righteous indignation over it. Still, if we turn up, he'll tell Gerard he's got some daddy issues to work out. Stiles' mouth works for several moments before he says, wow, I am suddenly super interested in your history with this guy and absolutely plan on interrogating you as we drive, but I guess it can wait for now. If you say it's gonna work, I believe you. Okay, Peter says, amused. Let's roll. Stiles had never really planned to go back to Beacon Hills. He had figured he would spend his entire life without ever setting foot there again. He's surprised by his reaction to it, at the way the first familiar sight sends tears stinging at his eyes. Peter glances over at him, but doesn't say anything about it. There were no Airbnbs available in Beacon Hills, and there's no extended stay hotel either, so they're staying at a Holiday Inn. Peter gets them checked in and says, all right, when can I expect you to be back? Stiles freezes like a deer in headlights. Again, not a trick question, merely a request for information. Probably 3 or 4 hours? I mean, you know, Derek! Peter rolls his eyes. Yes, go have your fun. Just make sure you talk to Laura before we get old. Roger that! Stiles salutes, and then heads out. He'd never asked Derek where in Beacon Hills he lived, but his cell phone bill was sent to a loft apartment downtown. Stiles takes the car and parks a couple blocks away, hoping he's home as he jogs up the steps. A big metal door is open, so he knocks on it and then sticks his head inside. Anybody home? A moment later, Derek comes down the spiral staircase at the back of the apartment, looking as gorgeous as ever. What are you doing here? Are you here by yourself? Stiles asks. Yeah, Derek says, frowning slightly. Then I'm taking all your clothes off, Stiles says, pouncing on him and going in for a kiss. Derek huffs out a laugh against his mouth and returns it for several long moments before he pulls away. Seriously? Seriously, a lot has happened in the past 48 hours, and neither of us will be in the mood for sex after I've explained it. Long story short, Peter and I decided to set up a trap for some of the hunters coming after us, and Beacon Hills was the place to do it. Stiles slides his hands under Derek's shirt and strips it off. So, I have to talk to your sister, basically because Peter finked out on doing it himself. But first, I need to debauch you. Is there a bed here?
Up the stairs,
Derek says, getting his hands underneath Stiles' thighs and hiking him up against the wall.
Too far away.
Yeah, okay, here. Here's fine, Stiles says, moaning as Derek leans in to bite the side of his neck. 10 minutes later, they're sprawled out on the sofa, momentarily sated. Stiles yawns and snuggles closer, then sighs. Okay, so, ready for some news?
Derek frowns and says, I hate the fact that you asked me that instead of just telling me.
I know.
Stiles sits up. There's no way to cushion the blow, so he just says it.
We're pretty sure Kate Argent is still alive.
He had known that Derek would be unhappy, but he's surprised at how he gets instantly pale and his eyes go wide. He looks away, pressing one hand over his mouth as if he feels sick, and finally asks,
How?
Looks like her father helped her fake her own death after she got to the hospital and was stabilized. He brought in some outside doctor to say she was having complications, bring her back in for more surgery, and say she died on the operating table. Blah, blah, body double, blah. Probably been down in South America, blah.
Stiles rubs a hand over his hair and says,
Honestly, I was upset at first, but now it feels almost right. Like all these years, without knowing she was still out there, I was getting ready to face her. God knows that Peter's already come up with about 400 ways to torture her to death.
He sees the way Derek is still pale and unmoving, and leans over him, rubbing a hand down his back.
Hey, you okay?
No, Derek grits out.
That's fair. Stiles just continues stroking his back for a minute. So, the plan was we'd come back here and let Chris Argent see us a few times, because he'll definitely tell his dad, and once Kate hears about it, she'll show up to kill us. But Peter wants to let Laura know we're here because, you know, alpha garbage.
Okay.
Derek stands up and pulls his underwear back on without another word. Stiles watches him as he gets dressed, his movements abrupt and angry. After a moment, he stands up and starts to dress too.
Let's go.
Are you pissed? Stiles asks as he follows Derek down to the car. You seem pissed.
I am, but not at you. It's not your fault. I don't want Kate Argent to be alive, and I definitely don't want her anywhere near me, and I just...
Derek pinches the bridge of his nose,
and I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, Stiles says, because arguing definitely isn't going to get him anywhere. He lets Derek drive, because he loves Derek's Camaro. They leave town and venture out onto one of the roads of the preserve.
Damn, Stiles says when he sees the house. That place is enormous.
Yeah, Derek agrees.
She had an addition put on.
Nice, Stiles says. He follows Derek out of the car and up the porch's front steps. Once inside, Laura immediately emerges from the side room, having heard them coming. Hey, Dare, new prospect? She asks.
Not exactly,
Derek says, his tone a little stilted and formal.
This is Stiles. Remember Stiles, the deputy son that Peter adopted? Stiles, Laura, Laura, Stiles.
Nice to meet you, Stiles says, because what the hell? A little politeness never hurts. Laura is frowning and she doesn't return the pleasantry. What are you doing here? Is Peter here?
He's in town, but he's not here, Stiles says. We're here because it looks like Kate Argent is still alive.
Stiles might not like Laura, but she has the same kicked-in-the-gut look that Derek does, if less severe. So he gives her a minute to wrestle with that before explaining the rest of their plan and asking about if any hunters had been hassling them in the past couple of days.
Yeah, Laura says. A couple of guys tried to rough up Boyd and Erica. They got away pretty easily, but more will come.
Of course Peter wants to use the problem my pack is having for his benefit. The problem he created for me.
Yeah, that's Peter in a nutshell,
Stiles says cheerfully.
Laura scowls at him.
You aren't going to defend him?
Stiles shrugs.
Laura, I don't give a shit what you think of Peter. He doesn't give a shit either. You think he's an opportunistic, self-centered, arrogant piece of shit, which he really kind of is, in a lot of ways. Of course, he has positive qualities too, and personally, I feel like those outweigh his negative ones, but I'm never going to convince you of that, and that's not why I'm here.
Why did Peter even bother to send you to tell me about his plan? Laura asks.
You could have just gotten the details from Derek.
Yeah, we could have, Stiles says. But the odds that you would have noticed something was going on were pretty high, and we didn't want Derek caught in the middle like that.
Derek gives him a sideways glance, and a tiny smile touches his face. Laura looks between the two of them, and then rolls her eyes.
Fine, whatever. You two do whatever you're going to do, but if Kate touches a single hair on any of my beta's heads, I'm holding Peter personally responsible.
I'll pass along the message,
Stiles says, and heads for the door. Once they're outside and settled in the Camaro, he adds,
Wow, she is such a bitch.
Yeah, Derek agrees with a shrug, and then shakes his head. Come on, I'll take you back to the loft. Just try not to involve us in this, okay? Laura's a bitch, but she's not wrong in that you're putting our pack at risk so you can get revenge.
Stiles is quiet for a minute.
You don't want revenge, too?
No, Derek says. I don't. I want all of this to be 500 miles away from me. I'm not like you and Peter. I don't want to face the woman who killed my family. I should care about what happens to her, but I don't. I just want this to be over.
After a moment, Stiles reaches out and squeezes his wrist.
Don't worry, Derek. Peter and I will take care of this. I promise.
Derek sighs.
Thanks.